بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, brothers and sisters, we are on the subject of the prohibition of interest, taking interest and paying interest, which is basically interest-based banking. The point I want to make, a few points, inshallah, we will continue this tomorrow also. First and most important point is the purpose of this, of prohibition of interest, wallahu alam, is a overarching huge purpose that comes to the fundamental of society, which is to create a strong economy. A strong economy is created when wealth is distributed. I'm not saying exactly equally everybody has $10. I'm saying that wealth must percolate down to the frontline level, the lowest level of society. A strong society is where people have what we call discretionary spending. They've got discretionary, spending power, right? Where they have surplus income. A society where people are going, where the majority of people are surviving hand to mouth, is not a prosperous society. It's not a strong society. Even though in that society there may be billionaires. And that's why I have always maintained, it's my contention that GDP is the worst measure of a society's prosperity. Absolutely the worst. GDP shows you gross domestic product, and that is the worst way of measuring the health of an economy. What we have to look at is the distribution of wealth in the economy. India, for example, has the highest concentration of billionaires in Asia. At the same time, India is one of the poorest nations in the world. Poverty in India, the level of poverty is worse than sub-Saharan Africa. Now, you might say, well, how is it possible? You have the biggest concentration of billionaires and the poorest people in the same country. How that is possible is because of the interest-based banking system, because of the rapacious and predatory capitalism that is practiced today in the world. That is the reason, that's the way and the reason why in this world today we have 8 people. Just try to get your mind around this. 8 people. If I start counting from my right, and starting with Zahur Bhai there, is 1, 2, 3, 4, Asad 5, Nabil 6, Abul Hasan, Sheikh Abul Hasan 7, and my brother Ashraf 8. These 8 people have collectively more wealth than 50% of the world's population, which, take a few million here and there, is roughly about 4 billion people. The collective wealth of 4 billion people is less than the collective wealth of 8 people. And I'm saying people, there's not 8 people, it's 8 men, 8 billionaires. There's not a single woman in them. If I gave this to you independently as a project, and if I told you, create for me a system where we can have 8 people having more wealth than 50% of the rest of the world, you would tell me, Sheikh, you are crazy. There's no way this can be done. Simply not possible. Yes or no? But guess what? We did it. We have it. Now, is this a sign of a healthy, strong world economic situation? Or is it a sign of a cancer, of an absolutely debilitating illness that will take the world down the drain? Which one? And that's what is happening. Now, why am I saying that? I'm not sitting here preaching communism, believe me. A strong economy means when wealth is distributed throughout the population of a country, What it does, I'm not talking about everybody has a Ferrari. What it does is, it strengthens the public health system. It strengthens the education system. It strengthens the infrastructure because people have the money to pay for it. They want better roads, they want better water, they want better power, they want better housing, they want parks, they want entertainment, means of entertainment. Yes? But when people are struggling hand to mouth, they have no time to think of any of this and they cannot contribute for any of this. So a strong economy will have better hospitals, it will have better schools, it will have better shopping complexes, it will have better infrastructure, better bridges, better roads. The whole country, the whole economy benefits because of the percolation of wealth throughout. But where you have a few billionaires, they create enclaves around themselves, rings of security, big walls, tall towers. Traffic is bad. What do? They commute by helicopter. I'm not exaggerating. Some of those billionaires are clients of mine. I have traveled in those helicopters. If you don't believe me, I'll show you pictures. They're not bothered. Traffic is bad. Nobody can go anywhere. I don't care. I go from my helipad from my home to the helipad to my office. Khalas. You are stuck in traffic. Rot. What do I care? Right? Islam says this is no good. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did two things. One, He made charity fard. He made it a rukun of deen. If somebody refuses to pay zakat, if somebody says, I will not pay zakat, the guy is out of Islam. So it became fard. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put zakat on things which people tend to accumulate, which is gold and silver. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned interest. So what are we saying? We are saying that if you are lending money on interest, then you are not really interested in the success of the person you are lending the money to because it doesn't matter to you. I lent you the money, you have to pay me my interest. Whether you sink or swim, doesn't matter to me. Allah said, no, this doesn't work. Lend the money, no problem. But you are with the guy. You lend the money for that ship, you are in the ship. So help to let that ship reach its destination. Don't wait for the ship to sink. Right? If you borrow money from a bank, if you mortgage your house and you borrow money from the bank for that mortgage, and then one day you decide, I'm going to return this money to the bank. You go to the bank and say, allow me to sell the house and I'll give you back the money. What will the bank tell you? They say, no. No, you can't sell the house to give me back the money. If you want to get out of this, we will foreclose and we'll take away your house. Whatever you paid us is ours. That's it. Khalas. But I can pay you back. No. You want to pay me back, you got to pay me back on the agreement that we signed, which is over that many years. You will have to continue to pay interest over that many years. You want to close now? No way. Now you want to close, just walk away. That is the door. Go away. House is mine. Whatever you paid me is mine. This is the system. And that's how in this country today we have two empty houses foreclosed by banks for every homeless person on the street. Two empty houses. You can take every homeless person, give him one house and say, live here, and the other house is yours for free. Does that happen? No. He's still living out of the shopping cart which he picked out of Walmart. That is why the system is so bad. What Islam wants us to do is to create a strong economy by allowing wealth to distribute. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned interest. Yes? And the final point I want to make today, and we'll expand it tomorrow. What is the reason that Allah gave? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say that al-baya mislu riba. They say that trade is like interest. And then what did Allah do? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a long explanation about the economic reasons and so on and so on? No. Allah said, أَحَلَّ al-baya wa harrama riba. Khalas. Why is interest haram? Because Allah said so. That's it. Why is trade jais? Because Allah said so. This is the kibriyai. This is the magnificence. This is the power and the glory of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah says, don't ask these questions. I tell you it is halal, 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 it is halal. I tell you it is haram, it is haram. Stay with this, inshallah, tomorrow more. But think about this, this beautiful religion of ours. If it is practiced, it brings goodness everywhere to everybody in the whole of the world. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ اللَّهِ